We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today we are talking all about Pinterest and mindset work we need to do as entrepreneurs. And today's guest is Rachel Engom. She is a business and lead generation expert helping purpose-driven female entrepreneurs drive more traffic, leads, and sales through Pinterest, blogging, and strategic use of automation. She's also the host of the She's Making an Impact podcast. Rachel has a really interesting background story that she will share on today's show. She went from being on food stamps with negative $400 in her checking account to a multiple six-figure online business. And she now helps other women do the same through her signature courses and programs. Rachel has lived in Kenya. She met her husband in Senegal. She got married in Morocco, and she spent 2 years in France. In addition to talking about Rachel's business journey, we talked about how she increased her web traffic by 34,000 views per month using Pinterest and why using content to create a strong customer experience is really key, whether you're selling products or services. Rachel and I also talked about how personal growth, personal and professional development, and mindset work are just so incredibly important as business owners and CEOs. Before we jump into this episode, I want to celebrate one of our Proof to Product Lab members, and she's also a PaperCamp alumni. Kate Murray from Quick Brown Fox Letterpress has been killing it lately. You might remember Kate from episode 166 of the podcast, where she shared her startup story and some of the new products that she's been working on. Well, in the last month, Kate wrote her first six-figure purchase order with a new big box account. And she received a second order before the first one even shipped out for the same store. So in the middle of a pandemic, she is killing it and she has really turned this year around. That's her words. This year has really turned around. I'm so happy and excited for you, Kate. Your hard work and leadership are completely paying off. So kudos and congratulations to you. Now, each week inside of Proof to Product Labs, we celebrate each other's wins and we hold each other accountable to push ourselves towards the goals that we set for ourselves, right? So if you are looking for coaching and community and connection with other artists, designers, and product makers, join me at proofToProduct.com/labs. Now let's dive into this episode with Rachel Engom. Hey, Rachel, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So you have an incredibly inspiring backstory. You went from being on food stamps with a negative balance in the bank to creating a multi six-figure business. First off, what motivated you to start this business?
It was out of desperation, to be honest. We had a new baby at the time, and I just couldn't imagine raising him in like a struggling environment and under that stress, because I felt the stress so much. I remember pushing him from pawn shop to pawn shop in the stroller, trying to sell stuff out of our house get our bank account out of the negative. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm a smart person. I can figure this out. Like, we need to figure something out. So yeah, that was like the big motivation of, all right, now's the time.
Yeah, that would have been a motivator for me too. It's funny how like different circumstances in our lives are just kind of that wake up moment that we need that shift our thinking. Mm-hmm. How did you decide what type of business you wanted to start? Did you know right away or was it something you needed to like ponder on?
Okay. So it's kind of funny. The first business I was a part of was network marketing, and it was Beachbody. And so I had done P90X, and I was like, I did it to get in shape for our wedding. And I was obsessed with the program. And I actually have a picture of me in my wedding dress, like flexing my biceps with the P90X like wrapper in my mouth. Like, I was just like a natural like promoter for that program and started drinking Shakeology. And so they told me, hey, sign up for a discount. And I'm like, okay, didn't realize I could actually create a business out of it. So I was in grad school at the time getting my master's in social work. And it just like something clicked. Like, I went to the event and I saw millionaires on stage and I was like, so they figured something out, you know, like they're no different than me. If they could do it, I could do it too. Yeah. So that was like the the entry point, I struggled for years until I hit that breaking point. So I started that business when I was 23 and then had my son when I was 26, I think around that. So I struggled for like years and I'm just stubborn. So I didn't give up. And it was that like breaking moment of, all right, you really need to figure this out because you can't get a job right now and you have this baby you need to take care of.
So you were in grad school for social work and you're in your back of your head, you're like, okay, I need something else. I'm going to create a side hustle of some sort. I assume it was a side hustle at the time because you had...
It was a total side hustle and it was mostly for fun. And I didn't even realize, I'm like, oh, I can make money doing this. This is cool. My mom was my first customer. I was like, I love your support, mom.
I love that. I love it. My parents have like packaged product for me at different times in my career. So yeah, I get it. Okay. So it was a side hustle for you. How did you like teach yourself the business side of it? Trial and error?
A lot of trial and error. And I was very hungry. So like people that were on the team were like, were just inviting me to do training calls and I learned about personal development and you should read 10 pages every day. And so I just started, you know, and I'm very teachable. And so if they told me, hey, read 10 pages a day, I'm like, okay. So
I'm on it.
Reading personal development. They're like, hey, you should go to this Danny Johnson event. Okay, I'll go to Danny Johnson. And so it's really been like the compound effect of doing little things and like investing in myself over the years that has really added up.
Oh yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Okay. So that was your initial business. Let's talk about what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Who are you helping? What kind of services do you offer? How did you get to this?
I know. So we help purpose-driven entrepreneurs get more leads and sales with Pinterest, blogging, online courses. I love working with the entrepreneur who wants to create more passive income in their life and just live a life of freedom. So I work with a lot of moms who want to have quality time with their children, people who want to travel the world. So I started this business when we were living in France. We lived there for 2 years and we're moving to Senegal next year. Just having that like time and location freedom is huge. So I was working with Beachbody, had a six-figure income, life was good. They restructured. They were doing like DVDs and stuff. And when they restructured and went to digital, my income was cut in half.
Oh, wow.
And I was working harder and harder and harder. And I was just sick and tired of my income being dependent on their company. Like I was an entrepreneur, but I wasn't in control.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like after a year of like working harder and harder and not seeing anything change. That's when I decided to hire a business coach and do my own thing. And I had no idea what that was going to look like. It was just like, let's figure it out together. So I just trusted her. And I'm a big believer in following your gut. So I had this gut feeling, she's the person you need to work with. And it was $2,000 a month to work with her when I was making $4,000 a month. And that was like our family's income. So it was a big investment, but I'm just a firm believer. Listen to that gut. And I'm so grateful I did because I wouldn't be here today if I didn't.
A couple of things you said really resonated with me. One was about, I was an entrepreneur, but I wasn't in control of things. And this is something I've been thinking about in my own business and with my own coaching clients of like, we do run the show. We are the boss. We do get to determine where we go next. And I think that is sometimes a power that we forget we have. Mm-hmm. I think we start to rely on the voices outside of us from other people, our colleagues, our family, whomever it is, and we start to let their opinions really sink in and guide what we choose to do. But in reality, we run the show. And in that circumstance, you didn't because you were tied to the sales strategy and products that this other company. So branching out, I like that you're sharing that it took you a while to land on what you're doing now and how you're serving people because it is an evolution.
Totally. It's such a journey. I think people think, hey, I'm going to start a business and, you know, be a millionaire tomorrow. And like where I am now, it really is the evolution over 10 years of being an entrepreneur and 10 years of personal development and consistently investing in myself and growing and evolving. And, you know, it's not an overnight thing.
No. And I'm sure in those 10 years, just like in mine, like you're pivoting, you're transitioning, you're seeing personal growth, but your business is also going through, do I want to offer that anymore? Do I want to add this on? Do I want to take this away? You know, and it makes a difference. So,
definitely.
Okay. So let's get back to what you're focused on now is like you increased your website traffic by, is this number correct? 34,000 views per month?
Yeah.
And you did that through Pinterest.
Through Pinterest. Yep.
What did you put into place to accomplish this? Like what did you do within Pinterest to get
this? Yeah. So this was with my first business in the fitness space, right? So I created a blog and I was just creating content to put on that blog that was going to add value. And I started putting it on Pinterest and I didn't have this huge strategy or anything. It was like, my whole thing is let's just try something and see if it works. And so we're just like trying it. And I noticed I had more people coming to my website and I'm like, where are these people coming from? You know, it's like Facebook working again because the logarithm changed and everything. Right. So I looked at my Google Analytics and I was like, holy crap, I have so many people that are coming from Pinterest. Like, this is crazy. And so I just kind of leaned into that and I'm like, how could I make this work even better? And yeah, just focused on optimizing that blog and focused on lead generation and creating more content that was going to drive the right people to my blog. So things kind of took off. And the crazy thing is that blog, I looked at my Google Analytics. So I'm like, I'm curious. I've had over 3 million views on that blog over the years. Like, wow. Mind blowing. I stopped publishing on it 2 years ago when I started this business, still making sales more than 2 years ago. Shoot. Oh my gosh. Still making sales from that blog, still building my email list from that blog. And I haven't touched it in years. Wow. Like, that's the power of Pinterest. It is so cool.
That is. I will say one misconception I hear from people is that I don't think they recognize that Pinterest is a long game. You know what I mean? Like, you can put something on today and, like you said, years later, it could be producing leads and income and all of that. But I do know a lot of people that are like, I want the instant gratification of right now I'm posting to Pinterest. And why is that the wrong mentality to take?
It is a long game. I think it's shorter than people think because I've had some of my students triple their sales in 60 days.
That's
so great. Like, yeah, I would say like you got to give it at least a month to 3 months to start seeing real traction and real results. But because it is a search engine, it takes time for you to actually start to rank your website and show up towards the top and everything. So you do have to be patient and just know, like with Facebook and Instagram, not anymore, but you used to be able to post and it's like instant gratification with likes and followers and comments and everything. Pinterest isn't like that. So you just got to understand it's a search engine. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so powerful is if you can get in the head of your ideal client and figuring out what are they searching for, then you can show up at the very top of Pinterest when you're intentional about creating the right kind of content that's going to serve them.
So let's talk about that, because a lot of the people I work with make physical products. They're not used to the content they're used to creating is through their art, through their products, or maybe it's imagery that they use on Instagram. But in terms of like written content for a blog or, you know, the captions of a Instagram post are kind of like what they focus on. How can they be strategic in, like, they do know their clients, they do know their customers, but are there any tools out there that can help them hone in on the types of things their audience is particularly interested in or looking for?
So let me give an example of one of our students. She sells wedding, like DIY wedding decor. And so she has physical products that she's selling. And so she just thought, she's like, this is the product that I'm selling. Who's my ideal client? Who's the person that's going to buy this? It's more the DIY bride. Mm-hmm. And so she created her blog and all the content is for the DIY bride. And so it's like 5 steps to DIY your wedding bouquet or whatever that might be. That's the kind of content that she's creating that she's putting on Pinterest. And so people are searching for that. They're landing on her website. They're seeing what she's creating. They see she has a way to like a freebie that she's offering them. So she's building her email list, but she also has a shop with products that are helping the DIY bride. So she tripled her sales in 60 days through reaching her ideal clients where they are. So she's not just posting like images of what she's selling and directing them to like an Etsy shop, because what happens when you do that, people are going to go to the Etsy shop and what if the product's not available? Or what if they don't want to buy right away? You're going to lose that person. It's like losing a lead. But if you get them to your website, you own and control that experience and you can get them on your email list where you can then market to them in the future. Yeah. So that really needs to be the main focus, because people typically don't buy the first time they find you. It takes several touches for you to get in front of them for them to actually buy, which is why the content to email list to customer works so much better than just product pin to sale.
I agree with you. And I like hearing you say that, because it is part of an overarching customer journey that we're taking them on, building that trust factor, letting them know that, yes, we have these products, but we're going to help you with other things that you're concerned about or thinking about that are tied to our products. Yep. So it's interesting. You said, though, like the content piece tends to, I don't know if you use this word, but convert better than just a pin of a product that links to a shop. Can you explain that a little bit more for those that might not be familiar?
So I'll use an example of actually one of my clients. So I don't have physical products that I'm selling, but I get asked all the time, like, can I send people to a sales page? Or can I send people directly to an opt-in page? And I always say, don't do that, because you need to add value first. So I've had one of my clients, they landed on my blog. They read my blog post where I'm adding value and I'm helping them with something that they're searching for.
Yeah.
I'm building that relationship with them. So they get done reading that and they're like, that was amazing. What else does this person have to offer?
Yeah.
And I've been able to sign up private clients and everything from just without even getting on a phone call. It's through my content that I've been able to do that. So content is, it's important for sure to build that relationship and that know, like, and trust factor.
I 100% agree with you. What mistakes are you seeing when it comes to Pinterest? Like what are people doing that they shouldn't be doing?
They're too vague with their niche. And so they're trying to reach everybody instead of being really specific. So think about that pinner. They're searching for something specific on the platform. If they come to your blog and it's generic, they're going to be disappointed and go back to Pinterest. So I'll give the example of my fitness blog. I used to try to do like all kinds of fitness and health and all kinds of crap, trying to reach everybody. And by looking at my Google Analytics, I saw that my posts about keto, eating high fat, low carb, and intermittent fasting were the most popular. So I was just like, I'm going to niche down to that. So all my content was around that. My freebie was about that. I had a paid ebook that was about that. And just get in the head of the pinner. If they're searching for keto, they land on my blog post. It's all about keto. And then they start looking around and they're like, oh, I wonder what else she has to offer. And it's general, all kinds of stuff, they're going to be kind of disappointed because they were searching for keto and that's what they wanted. But then when I change that experience, they're searching for keto, they land on my blog, they read it, they love it, they look around, they're like, oh my gosh, everything here is helping me with keto. She even has a free keto meal plan that's going to help me. This is amazing. I just found like a goldmine of information that was exactly what I was searching for.
Yeah.
They're going to have a much better experience.
Oh yeah. And I love how you look to your own analytics, your own audience to figure out, okay, what are they truly looking at? So for my listeners, you guys can look at your products and look in Shopify and see what's selling best and then build out content around those specific products. So, okay. What challenges have you faced in your business as it has grown, you personally here?
Ooh, let's see. I feel like there's so many, but here's the thing inside my head. I see challenges as growth opportunities. And so I rarely think of it like, oh crap, there's this huge challenge that I have right now. It's more like, okay, what can we learn from this? Or this is happening. How can we grow through this? Mm-hmm. Let me see. I mean, this is more like annoying than anything else is having to hire like new, if someone gives me like 2 weeks notice. So we have like, we do Pinterest management and we have clients that we have. And then I had someone that decides, okay, I'm giving you 2 weeks notice and we're off. I'm like, oh crap. Now we need to figure out how we're going to hire and train someone quickly to keep our clients happy and get them on board and everything. So that has been a challenge. Although we do have someone on our team that does the hiring for me. So I just need to find someone that does the training part so that doesn't take up my time. Other challenges, I mean, as you grow the business, you figure out like what works, what doesn't work. Do you have the right people on your team? So I've had challenges of, you know, having someone in place for Facebook ads and in my mind, creating a story that they're too expensive, even though it was converting really well. And so moving to someone that was cheaper, but then wasn't getting the right conversion. So it's costing us money and then having to go back to that person. So I guess mindset shifts around like, is it worth that investment and that kind of thing has been a challenge that I've overcome. And I'm like, nope, we got to go back to the more expensive person because they're doing so much better.
Those are really great concrete examples too of that mid-range and higher level of business. You know, at the beginning, everything is new and exciting. It's all a challenge because we're figuring it all out. But then we get into a groove and we start to hit these new hurdles. Like you said, hiring a team or deciding like how much to invest in a team and are they hitting their like goals that we've set for this position. And so I appreciate, and then too, layering in that mindset, I feel like that's kind of that next level even of running a business and the challenge?
It's everything. So I'm constantly working on my mindset, and I'm actually going through like a whole 5-month leadership program right now, because if you want, like, you're going to reach a plateau and you're going to get stuck. And it's because of you and your mindset and your leadership that's going to keep you stuck. The business only grows as much as the psychology of the business owner. And so it's so important that you are constantly growing and learning how to develop yourself in order to grow the business.
I love how much professional and personal development are ingrained in you and then therefore your business as well. I think that's a huge piece that a lot of people overlook because they don't want to invest in it. They don't want to do the work, whatever, or they don't have the time or whatever their reasons are. But it seems that that's been a huge piece of your growth and your success as well.
It's been everything. And so I ingrain it into my students too. So I have a group coaching program called Activate. And one of our students, she was like hesitant to sign up. She's in network marketing with LuLaRoe. And through the mindset work that I incorporate into the program, we teach so much strategy of creating an online course and like all this stuff and list building. But I put such a huge emphasis on mindset growth. And within the last 90 days, she has more than doubled her business. Almost tripled. And LuLaRoe actually reached out to her and asked her to speak on stage in front of 18,000 distributors because of the mindset shifts that she's had through working with me. And I'm like, you have to work on this. You have to work on your growth. And she's exploded.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I will say that especially right now with, you know, we're recording this in September. So we are about 6 months into COVID and everything else that's going on in the world. I feel like now more than ever is also where we need to be focused on our mindset work, our even our professional and personal development in terms of things we want to learn and how we want to implement them. Yeah, I agree that that's of the utmost importance. It's been something I've been working on too for years.
Yeah. Because I mean, if you're listening to the news and you're like, we're in a recession, there's so many unemployed people, nobody's going to buy something from my business because we're in a recession. Of course, no one's going to buy anything if that's what you're going, like you're telling yourself that story, right? But if you're thinking, I have something that's amazing and so powerful that's going to help transform people's lives through this experience, through what's going on in the world right now, your business is going to grow. Like I see it as a huge growth opportunity if you have the right mindset.
I love that you just shared that advice because I will tell you, early on in COVID, I would say like April, May-ish, I was getting lots of messages from people that are saying, I can't be selling right now. It feels salesy. It feels inappropriate. It feels opportunistic. You know, they were using these words that put a negative connotation on them running their businesses. And I kept saying to them, like, and even with my own self, like we need to keep selling right now. We are a business. We need to keep pushing. We need to keep, and to what we do in my business, I'm helping other people, helping them grow. They need this right now. For people selling products, your products are bringing joy to people. They need that right now.
Yes.
So I appreciate you saying that because it's true. We need to keep pushing forward. If we decide as the entrepreneur, as the CEO of the company, that it's not worth selling or doing these things right now, then the business is going to stall or die, right?
Yep. Totally.
Well, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but I appreciate your mentioning of the mindset work because I do think that's an incredibly important piece of building a business and growing it. So my next question was about like advice you have for people in that middle phase of business, but we just tackled that one. So let's go back to Pinterest real quick. What are like 2 to 3 things that people should be doing on Pinterest if they're not already utilizing it for their business?
Use Tailwind. So it's a Pinterest scheduling tool. So you can start scheduling out pins and you don't have to actually be sitting there manually pinning because that's super annoying. So I would just make sure that you have pins scheduled in the queue and you're pinning at least 5 times per day. And it could be a mix of your content and other people's content when you're just getting started. Ideally, you're creating content on a consistent basis and then you can create more pins for your content. That would be one of the biggest things, creating content on a consistent basis if you're not already doing that, and have a lead magnet in place that's going to build your email list that's related to the content that you're putting on Pinterest.
Awesome. And how many, if you have one blog post, how many images are you recommending people create for that one blog post? Because you mentioned having multiple pins and I assume multiple images then for that particular piece.
Yeah. So you could create like 5 pins per blog post. I wouldn't pin them all right away, but right. Maybe you try like an image pin and then you try a different color or a different background or a different headline. And then maybe you test an animated pin and just test out different things to see what's going to really convert the best. Because that's one of the things about Pinterest. It's kind of like Facebook ads, where it's just like you're testing to see what's going to convert. So I would create multiple images for sure. And then space it out so you're not doing them all at once. So it's like every couple of weeks, then you can pin it again.
Awesome. You know, you've kind of talked about this already through the other questions you've answered, but like, why is Pinterest a better platform for somebody to market on compared to, say, Facebook or Instagram?
Search engine. Think about Facebook and Instagram. You can pay for ads, which are great, but it's more like behavior and pattern interrupt ads. They're there to connect with their family. And so they're scrolling. You have to stop, grab their attention, and pay for that traffic. Pinterest, they're searching for something. And so if you can just get in the head of your ideal client, you could create the right keywords. So when they search for it, they search and they find you. And so it's going to be a warmer lead because they're actually looking for what it is that you've created for them. And then obviously it lasts years. So, and it's free.
We love free. We love that it has longevity. That's great. Yes. Well, what projects are you working on right now? What do you have coming up through the end of the year or into next year that you want to share with our audience?
Ooh, biggest thing is helping our students in Activate, helping our new students grow and see success. So we're accepting applications for that program right now. We'll be putting on different challenges and boot camps throughout the year. They're not ready yet to actually promote, but if someone wants to learn more about Pinterest, you can go to our free Pinterest class and learn more there, freepinterestclass.com. If you want to learn more about Activate, it's just rachelandgoem.com/activate.
Awesome. Well, we will include all those links in the show notes so people can connect with you and learn more about your services and your background, because it's pretty incredible there. But Rachel, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course.
Isn't Rachel incredible? I loved how she said that she was both stubborn and smart, and she knew that she could figure out how to build this business. I know I've felt those same things about myself in my own businesses that I've grown here. Well, I appreciated her sharing her thoughts on professional and personal development, because now more than ever, we need to be focused on keeping ourselves healthy and happy and also continually learning so that we're working smarter and not harder in our businesses. I think now more than ever is a time to shake things up. If things aren't working in our business, we need to like remove them or change them. And if things are working well, then we need to push further in that direction, right? Well, be sure to check out Rachel's free classes and her worksheets if you're interested in learning more about Pinterest and content development. You can find those here in our show notes. Also, I'm sure some of you listening are wondering, how do I figure out what types of content to talk about for my audience? I make products. I'm not used to making content. Well, this is where diving into your Shopify analytics, your email stats, and even looking at other marketing that you're doing to see what kinds of things are resonating with your customers. That will be incredibly helpful for you. And next month, inside Approved Product Labs, my friend Myrna Darmi is coming to teach a training about optimizing our digital footprint through search engine optimization and digital media optimization. When I hear these acronyms, SEO and DMO, I'm like, wait, what? But ultimately, Myrna is going to teach us how to strengthen our social media channels, our website, and any advertising we're doing so that we're not only increasing our visibility and getting our name out there more, but we're increasing our sales and we're driving more people to purchase in a smart and thoughtful way. So join Proof to Product Labs. It's my 12-month group coaching program. As soon as you can to participate in this live training next month, you also gain access to group coaching calls and exclusive discounts that are exclusively for this Proof to Product Labs community. So get more details and join me at proofToProduct.com/labs. Well, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me today and listening till the very end. I hope you found today's episode helpful and got the wheels turning about things that you can do in your business. I will be back next week with a new episode. Thank you again. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proofToProduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.